Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 17. And Peter said to Jesus, Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make three tents here, one for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. This is the text. Today is the celebration of the Transfiguration of our Lord. This is the last Sunday of the Epiphany season. This joyous season of light and revelation is about to give way to the penitential season of Lent. Today is the last day we sing Alleluia until the celebration of the resurrection of our Lord on Easter morning. We say goodbye to the Alleluias today. And just as our Lord spent 40 days in somber solitude in the wilderness being tempted by the devil, beginning this Wednesday, on Ash Wednesday, we will spend the 40 days of Lent in repentance of our sin, pondering the humiliation, suffering, and death of Christ as he did what was necessary in humble devotion that we might be saved. But today is not yet Lent. Today is a day to celebrate. And the Transfiguration of our Lord is a most magnificent event. Christ allows three of his disciples to see him in all of his glory. Peter, at this point, has already confessed Jesus being the Christ, the Son of the living God. They had seen the miracles. They had seen the words of the prophets fulfilled in this man called Jesus. Their faith was there, even though they had their struggles along the way, and they will continue to struggle in regard to their faith, especially Peter, as we know. We will see him in all of his difficulties in the season of Lent for sure. But now, here on this mountain, Christ's glory, it was not hidden. And there was no denying who Jesus was. The eternal Son of God was not hidden under the form of flesh and blood there on the mountain. His radiance was no longer suppressed. He no longer cast a shadow. There he stood, beaming forth like the sun, standing there in the presence of the saints, Moses and Elijah, engaging in the heavenly conversation. And as if this were not enough, the greatest display of heavenly power ever seen on earth, then a bright cloud envelops them. And God the Father says to the disciples the same words that he had spoke at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Those words were first spoken at Jesus' baptism in the presence of John the Baptist and all of those who were out there listening to John the Baptist. We know that Peter's brother Andrew was one of John the Baptist's disciples before being called to follow Christ. Perhaps, I mean this is speculation of course, but perhaps Andrew had heard this voice himself. And maybe had even told Peter of the voice from heaven. Even if that wasn't the case, and Andrew wasn't there on that particular day, the details of Jesus' baptism were not unknown to the disciples. And for more than 3 years, I am sure that the disciples longed to hear the voice of the Father. We know, you read the other Gospels, and Philip even says, show us the Father. You know, they longed to know the Father. They wanted to hear him speak. And Peter and James and John got to hear him speak. Peter was enjoying the event so much, he wanted to build three shelters so Moses and Elijah could stay a while. But it's this combination of joy and fear that Peter is joyously wanting to stay there, build three tents, but he's also, you know, at one point cowering down in fear on the ground because he can't bear to look at it. It's too much. Even though it was too much, he didn't want the glory to fade. It was that good. He got a little glimpse of heaven and didn't want to come back down the mountain. It is good, Lord, to be here. I mean, can you blame him? St. Paul was given a vision of heaven, and he says, I don't know if I was in the body or out of the body, but I was called up into the third heaven. And later on he said, you know, I desire to die and be with Christ, which is better by far. We can understand why Peter said, 'Tis good, Lord, to be here. But after this most blessed event, they had to come back down the mountain. There was still work to do. Christ had work to do. And he once again suppressed his glory. He once again exposed his flesh and blood that would be more greatly exposed in the days to come. Coming down the mountain, he cast a shadow once again. This is a great mystery as to how the fullness of the Almighty Eternal God can be present in the man, Jesus Christ. Such great power in such a humble form. I believe this gives us a little insight into our own experience with the flesh and blood of Christ. The people in Jesus' day, they saw the one true Almighty God, the eternal God, standing before them, appearing to be just a man. Being fully true man, other than possessing a sinful nature, having all of our human frailties, and other than on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus appeared that he was just a man. But hidden underneath that human appearance was the fullness of God, the radiance of God waiting to beam forth. We spent some time on this very topic last week in our Sunday morning Bible class as we're studying the letter to the Hebrews. And Jesus had the full authority of God all the time. He never stops being God. But he has humbled himself and made himself a servant to us all. So he is simultaneously Almighty God and the washer of feet. He is above us. He is greater than us. Yet he came to serve and to die for us. Our life is filled with these paradoxes, these where you have these two things that seem to oppose one another or be the opposite of one another, yet they are both simultaneously true. God likes to work with paradoxes. We have a similar experience with the flesh and blood of our Lord. The fullness of Christ comes to us in the most humble of forms. Christ comes to us under the form of bread and wine. Or as Luther rightly says, Christ's body and blood are present in, with, and under the form of bread and wine. It looks and tastes like bread. It looks and tastes like wine. because it is bread and it is wine. Yet Jesus says, this is my body. This is my blood, given and shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. What we receive in Holy Communion, it's a lot like what Peter, James, and John witnessed on the mountain. What seemed an ordinary, everyday form of the man Jesus, contained within was the fullness of God, the eternal God. And there on the Mount of Transfiguration, they got to see it as he was transfigured, where he transformed and the fullness that was there came forth. So that the power of God, which had always been there, it was revealed. They could see it. As we gather here this morning, the eternal Word of God will be joined with that very simple form of bread and wine. Christ is hidden in that form. Yet the eternal Word of God, the eternal Son of God, his flesh and blood is there, even though it cannot be seen, just as while going up the mountain and coming down the mountain, and for the rest of Jesus' time on earth, the fullness of his glory could not be seen, yet it was always there. We receive this, the fullness of God in this greatest of food. Through the power of the Word, Christ is present in that bread and wine. And he comes to us and fills us with the gifts that he brings, the gifts of forgiveness, life, salvation. Today in God's house, kneeling in the presence of Christ, witnessing his power as he comes to us, we also can say, 'tis good, Lord, to be here. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.